Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
One on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, two-man car. We are 10-8, two retired LASD deputy sheriffs. We now like to think of that acronym as Leaving All Sin Destroyed. That's what our Lord did for us on the cross on Good Friday and raised up on Easter. Jesse, good morning. How are you doing today?
Reporting for duty, sir. I'm 10-8 for Jesus. And just also want to just tell the folks that we just want to welcome them and tell them happy Holy Easter Octave. As Catholics, the resurrection is such a powerful event that we celebrate it for 8 days because we can't in one day contain the magnificence of that event.
That's right.
So onward and upward, Ruben.
All right. Thursday in the octave of Easter. Okay, so today we have a good topic. We're going to be talking about Jesse's book. We're going to be talking about a book that all Catholic voters need to buy, read, and then share with their family and friends before the 2020 election. And in fact, you'd be better off just buy a copy for them, you know, have it shipped to them if you want to do that. You know, Amazon, you know, ship me my book, and I'm holding it up. I'm you know, halfway through it. It's a good read. It's you know, an easy read. So,
and it's short too, Ruben. Me and my partner, we wrote it short on purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I read a bunch of things, so I would have written, if I was just reading one book, I could have done it in a couple of days. But anyway, I think this is a good topic because you know,
Ruben, I just want to add to that. Tan just translated into Spanish yesterday.
Oh wow.
Yeah, in the Spanish, so it's called Un Voto Católico por Trump. It just got translated yesterday, so go ahead. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Pretty awesome,
but
huh?
You know what? Then, you know, I'm going to have to do this right now then. How's that?
Well, I can't see you, but...
You can't see me, so make America
whatever you're doing
great
is all good.
Again. I got my Trump hat on, Jess.
Oh, okay.
Got my red hat on.
Well, that today's an appropriate show for that, to wear your MAGA hat.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't wear it out in public too much. I'm not looking for confrontation, but I remember when I did.
You don't want to have to give anybody a beat down, Ruben.
Yeah. So I saw someone was looking at me sideways, you know, throwing me dirty looks in the grocery store. And I'm like, geez, come on. You know, there's no tolerance on the other side. None whatsoever.
You're absolutely right.
Maybe
you're
we'll
spot
talk.
On.
Yeah.
Maybe okay, we'll I can see you now.
Maybe we'll talk about it now. So okay.
Yeah.
So you know, if you're already a Trump supporter, it will provide you with the arguments needed to better articulate your support for him. And then if you're a Republican who voted against him in 2016, which I don't know why you would have, considering who the other option was, it will outline why you, as a conservative leaning Catholic, should vote for him in 2020. And then if you are a non-radical Catholic Democrat, because I think, you know, the radical Democrats, I don't think there's any change in them, it will convince you, if your party's candidates have not done so already, that the Democratic leadership does not actually care about you and your concerns, but Donald Trump does. And, you know, if you're an independent, it will convince you that the way in which the D.C. establishment of both parties, the swamp, that Donald Trump always talks about, so ferociously opposed Trump, means he must be doing something right. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see all those non-Catholics that you know, are so anti-Catholic, so against the Catholic Church for what they stand for, you know, or just, you know, you look at the early Christian church, early Catholic church, you know, those martyrs, they were doing something right because people, they opposed them so much, and that's what we're saying here.
Right.
And so if you're a Hispanic Democrat, Romero, you know, Jesse's book is going to tell you why he supports Trump on immigration and why you should too. So in these pages, both authors, Jesse and John McCullough, combine extensive research, straight talk, and a humorous, punchy style with quotes from the Catechism, the Pope, some of the best Catholic writers and thinkers of the 20th century, and some non-Catholics as well, to make the case that Donald Trump is the only choice in 2020.
You said it well, Ruben.
Yeah, and you know what? I did just the other day, you know, obviously former President Obama came out and endorsed Joe Biden, which was, you know, we were all expecting that. There's been so many memes that you know, it's kind of, it's sad, but it's funny, you know, like, oh, they show a picture of Biden saying, endorse me for what, you know? There's a lot of going back and forth now.
Yeah, he's not up for the job, Ruben. He's seen his better days, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so yep. I know, I'm not trying to.
And he's, what upsets me is he's a poor example of a Catholic. Yeah. And I'm just saying that objectively. I don't know his heart. But what comes out of his mouth and the way he votes, he's wrong on all the issues when it comes to the Catholic moral teaching.
Jesse, it's, you know, like Jesus said, by your fruit you shall know them, you know. And has he borne good fruit, you know, in terms of what he stood for and on his political decisions, on life?
Nope, not in 30 years.
No, you know, and now they've got this, this investigation is going on some allegations have been made against him about sexual misconduct. So we'll see where that goes.
And that was, this woman is pretty lucid and very clear about the allegations. She doesn't seem like, what we used to call in police work, Ruben, a 5150.
Yeah, no.
Somebody who's, you know, insane and just making things up.
And the left refused to publish it. You know, they didn't want to investigate it. And that, whatever happened, you know, when you saw what happened to Kavanaugh, you saw what was happening to Trump when these allegations came up against them. They were ready to fry him without any, you know, due process. So
and it was on the media, Ruben, basically every single day, yeah. Every single hour on the hour.
Oh, yeah.
And the only way you can find out about the allegations against Biden, sexual improprieties, is by alternate media on the internet.
Exactly.
Alternate news agencies on the internet.
All right, right. So what we're going to do today is kind of just go through some questions that have come up. And Jesse, we'll go ahead and have you answer them. Okay, so the book, okay. You want me to talk about how what the target audience is and
yeah, sure. Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the book in one sentence, you know, it's best explains why all Catholics should vote for Donald Trump in 2020. He's the most Catholic friendly, pro-religious liberty, pro-life president that we've ever had in my lifetime. Jesse, he's the only one I know. And in fact, he is the only president that spoke at the Walk for Life.
Yep.
He's not afraid to invoke the name of God and his son, Jesus Christ, when he gives lectures as a president. I find that refreshing.
I do, too.
And then, you know, what makes the book unique from others on the topic is more blue-collar author team. Both authors are from the Catholic Democratic families. You know, you were Democrat just as much as I was. One Mexican-American, that's you, and an Irish-American.
John McCullough, my partner, yeah.
The competitor book on this topic is more of one for the inside the Beltway crowd. This is for the man and woman in the pew, but still intellectual enough and solidly rooted in the faith. It will sway more Democrats to vote Trump than the other. And also the fact that the primary author is Hispanic, which is Jesse, and a huge Trump supporter is significant. You know, so you've already got street cred, Jesse, you know, in terms of your faith walk. You know, when you stand for something, when you have ideals, people are going to take notice. You know, if you're just wavering, you're like a leaf in the wind blowing around to and fro. I mean, who could take someone serious like that? You know,
people may not agree with me, Ruben, but I definitely have positions in my life that I've taken and still take that I'll defend.
That's right. And, yeah. You know, are your values what you say or what you do? It's what you do, right? So, you know, you
hopefully
can say,
they can be consistent.
Yeah.
Hopefully, just, you know,
like the other candidate, he says he's Catholic, but yet his, you know, his actions speak otherwise.
Right.
Then we're going to briefly explain why you believe to be the target audience, what the target audience is for the book. And it's going to be any American of goodwill, most especially Catholics. Those who support Trump will buy it for themselves and share it with others. Democrats will be intrigued by it as well as independents. This book shows all the promises made and promises kept. And so
this is why this is so horrible, what's happening right now, Ruben, because they knew that he was going to win on the economy.
Right.
And we'll find out, Ruben, that there was a collusion, I would say, of a communist, globalist, Democrats. It's all going to come out. Bill Gates. They're all taking the advice of Michael Moore, Bill Maher, and others to defeat Trump. We have to destroy the economy. They've been saying that. Leftist commentators have been saying that, and now some of the most powerful earth movers have caused this Wuhan virus, and this is the only way they plan. They figure they can defeat him because he was on track to just wipe out anybody in 2020. That's my take.
Oh yeah, there was not even a doubt. Let's get into some questions that we have for you, Jesse. So on your first chapter, you know, it talks about the genuine love that you believe Trump has for the American people. Do you really believe that, Jess? And is it at all an act on his part?
Look, at President Trump loves the people. The people love him. And the American people's instincts are better than those of the elites because the people, they recognize authenticity, a real down-to-earth man. Now, as Catholics, we define love as desiring and willing what's best for another. That's the Catholic definition of love from St. Thomas Aquinas.
Right.
Well, guess what? President Trump is a successful businessman, and now he's the president of the United States. He just doesn't want to give hungry people fish. He wants to teach them how to fish.
That's right.
And Ruben, to prove that he loves the American people, he doesn't even take a paycheck.
No.
Donates his money back to the federal government to combat the coronavirus.
All right. Be right back.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat? Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, two-man car. We are 10-8, and we are talking about why Donald J. Trump is the only option, is the only candidate that we as Catholics can and should vote for in the upcoming election. You know, Jesse, when you think about 1 Peter 3:15, that's a familiar verse for everybody, but I don't know that everybody reads it all the way through. But when he says, because this is what I like about Trump, and it says here, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And then it goes on to say, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. And I like that, you know, Trump doesn't let himself get, what we say in the streets, doesn't let himself get punked. You know, he fights back. And
he's a counterpuncher.
Yeah, that's right. So,
Ruben, as I was mentioning the fact that Trump loves the American people, let me just finish with that statement. Again, he doesn't take a paycheck. First president that doesn't do that. How many people would do a job for free where you're insulted by the media 7 days a week and your wife's insulted and your family? His only motivation is not money, obviously. It's not a salary. It's not a pension.
No.
It's love for this country.
Right.
And I'll tell you that President Trump's policies, I mean, Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. This guy works for free. He doesn't work an eight-hour day either. You know that.
Okay? Oh, no, man.
Yeah. 8 hour day. What's that for him?
He stands up there at the podium and gives, he talks with the press every day. Most presidents would just put their speaker up there, you know?
Absolutely. They wouldn't touch the press, Ruben.
Yeah.
Or they'd read it off a little index card. And I can also tell you about the fact that he loves the American people. His policies have helped out minorities and women more than any other president in my lifetime. I mean, for the black community, I'll just give you one: prison reform. That was huge. For the Hispanic community, he's securing our borders. This is going to slow down what? Human trafficking, prostitution. The drug trade is going to go down to a trickle. He's also gone after MS-13, who's terrorized the Latino communities. I mean,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? Does he love this country? All I could say is, as Father Pavone says, if Trump was not where he's at, as president, we Catholics would not be where we're at when it comes to religious freedom. Father Pavone says Priests for Life and other nonprofits would have been squashed by the Obama administration. We were being sued and hauled into all kinds of courts to defend our positions. But this president has given us total religious liberty to operate.
That's right. He did away with that bathroom rule that Obama's put into place. You know, where
also he doesn't enforce that amendment. It's an amendment for nonprofits to keep their mouths shut. He's already told Catholics and Protestants that'll never be enforced under my administration. It takes Congress to get rid of it, but it's called the. It'll come up to me. Mm-hmm. It was by a Democrat senator who wrote it back in the 70s, where nonprofits got to keep their mouths shut. Trump says that will never be enforced in my administration.
Okay. So these questions, you know, coming up from the other side of the aisle, obviously. So this one goes, question to you, Jesse. Doesn't Trump just love the attention?
Again, I said this guy gets insulted 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by most of the media. So does his family.
They went so far as
does he love that attention? I don't think he does. I don't think anybody loves that attention. But the only thing he loves is what he's actually said, Ruben, the forgotten man. Okay? And this is why they can't stand him, the mainstream media, is because, let's just be honest, he was one of them.
Yeah.
He was a liberal, generous benefactor to their liberal progressive causes.
Yeah.
He had a very successful TV show called The Apprentice. The liberals even gave him a Hollywood star.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He's one of the elites, Jess.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But he forsook all that fanfare and all the accolades and all the backslapping for what? To make America great. Yeah. And so when you see him at a rally, it's obvious that the people love him and he loves the people. You could see it's heartfelt on both ends. And again, Ruben, he does this for free. He doesn't work an 8-hour day and he donates his salary to charitable causes. I mean, I think the case is closed there.
Oh, I think he's the hardest person I've ever seen that sits in the Oval Office. He's exposing all the darkness, you know, and Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So next question for you, Jesse, do you think you come down too hard on people who were skeptical about Trump from a Catholic perspective?
I don't think we do. My partner, John, and myself, we only use the term Never Trumpers twice in the book. And that's in relation to those establishment Republicans, you know, people like McCain, people like Romney. But to my fellow Catholics who are still kind of, you know, diehard Democrats, I worry for their soul being in danger because they've embraced or they've tolerated the Democrats' immoral laws. And if people perceive that, John and me, that we came down too hard on our fellow Catholics, it's because we love them as brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, that's our motivation. There's nothing else. And in addition to our motivation, we're also very strong in our positions out of love for God and love for our Catholic faith, which is the fullness of truth. And I'll tell you, Father Pavone, who I consider him a modern-day Cristero from Priest for Life, he forwarded the book.
Yeah.
And I just want to just remind people that he says this. Father Pavone says this to answer your question. He says, it is our belief that the Obama administration and Clinton administration was one of, if not the most thoroughly corrupt administration in American history. The details were included to demonstrate the corruption that Trump had to root out, as well as highlight the importance of him winning a second term. The Clinton scandal lies and the setting up of a private server in her home in New York shows the double standard in this country. One standard of criminal justice for the Clintons and the other for the limousine liberals, and the other standard for conservatives. Lady Justice, Ruben, you and me were in law enforcement. We remember Lady Justice. Lady Justice is supposed to be blind.
Right.
That's why she wears a blindfold. But when it comes to liberal progressive swamp politicians, they seem to be exempt. And I think if Trump, wins a second term, I think we're going to really learn how much more corrupt our government has become in recent decades.
Yeah, Jesse, well, when I read that chapter, when you rehashed the Clinton email scandal, I thought I had read pretty much all there was to read, but I learned something from there. It goes even deeper. So, you know, it's amazing the extent to which they cleaned up her server, you know, the bleached it and so. But what people will say, isn't that old news? You know. Also, is he not running? He's not running against her this time. So, you know, why bring it up? What's your response to that?
Well, the only reason we brought up, myself and my partner John, we brought it up, we just wanted to let people know what Donald Trump walked into.
Yeah.
We just wanted to let people know what he inherited. When he started using the term, the swamp, boy, oh boy, he wasn't kidding.
No.
He's talking about, and we're not just talking about one party. We're talking about, Republicans as well. You got progressives. The Democrat Party's pretty much 100% the swamp, okay? The Republicans, probably about, I'm going to say, 20-25% are swamp creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And they form, Ruben, this uniparty, this anti-Trump uniparty, where these guys are in bed with the globalists, they're in bed with China, they're in bed with other interest groups. They saw that President Trump wanted to make this country great. Not... The swamp wants to make, they have this view of, let's make the world great. We remember what Barack Obama said, we are citizens of this world. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the swamp believes. Now, Trump's, his position is, we can only make America great, I mean the world great, if America is made great. Yeah. If we don't make America great, the world's not going to be great. And so that's the difference there. And just to show you, Ruben, the swamp creatures, people like Joe Biden, his contacts with China have financially benefited his son and his family.
Right.
That's what Donald Trump, this is what he's trying to stop, is this insider, you know, this insider trade dealing where people are becoming multimillionaires out of becoming congressmen and senators.
Mm.
How do you become a multimillionaire, Ruben, in an $180,000 a year salary?
Yeah, look at Obama. What he's how he
there you go. It's because they're swamp creatures.
Yeah, yeah. And the Clinton Foundation.
They're globalists. They're more interested in in becoming a being a citizen of the world, incurring favor with dictators and other rogue governments than taking care of America.
Yeah. Now that Hillary's out of the way, you see that her Clinton Foundation is they're not taking in very many dollars.
It's dried anymore, up, Reuben. It pretty much dried up.
You know, I like this. Psalm 94:16 says, "Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands for me against evildoers?" Donald J. Trump right now. So the next question, Jesse, do you or don't you as a Catholic have a problem with him making jokes about people, giving them nicknames, etc.?
Look, let's just be honest. We're all sinners with concupiscence. The way he's unfairly treated by the media nonstop.
Yeah.
Guess what? He should be mad. He should be indignant. And the truth be told, I'm going to be honest with you. His language doesn't bother me that much. I'm not a prima donna. I'm not a Puritan.
Yeah.
Reuben, I swear I'm not proud of it. I go to confession. My partner, John McCullough, he's a good Catholic Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
He swears too. And I'm sure there's a lot of men I consider to be good Catholics that probably use an occasional curse word. That's why we have confession. I think a better way to, a better approach is to say, look, this guy has righteous indignations about high crimes and horrible things that people have done to this country and its people. So I'm not going to really sweat his occasional outburst. I've been Catholic my whole life and heard that language from good Catholics, bad Catholics, atheists. I mean, you were a police workman for over 30 years. You hear this all the time. I've never considered, I mean, because somebody swears it makes them bad cop. Are you kidding me? That's not a way to assess somebody as good or bad. Yeah, this man swears, therefore he's bad. And this man does not swear, therefore he's good. Well, that's not my experience, and I doubt it's yours either. There are way more important issues to worry about. We got a country to save from the encroaching push towards socialism by the Democrats. And my question, do you want a president who speaks politically correct and does great evil through his executive orders and policies like Barack Obama?
Right.
Or a president who speaks politically incorrect, but his executive orders and policies have given us the greatest economy in 60 years?
That's right. Hey, even Clinton called us deplorables. And then even our Pope called us rigid. So there you go.
We all got that dark side to us.
All right. We'll be right back. Keep going on this great topic. See you on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Bye.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, where iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. We're talking about Jesse's most recent book, Catholic Vote for Trump. I've got a different hat on now. My boys from East L.A. got me this one. It says, make East L.A. great again. So, you know, that's I worked over half my career there. And so, you know, they're trying to reestablish that station as a, you know, beacon of hope and light for that community. So I thought it was pretty cool. So I wear their hat. Jesse, going on.
Let me just finish up. You asked me about, you know, people have a problem with the way President Trump speaks.
Yes.
Okay? Again, there's bigger fish to fry, Ruben. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, but the point is, I'll tell you why the liberal Democrat swamp creatures, they don't know what to do with President Trump. I'll tell you why. Because he's using their medicine against them. What's their medicine? Non-politically correct speech. They're not used to a Republican speaking like this. But if you really want to hear the way, you know, liberal progressive Democrats talk all day, all you got to do is listen to Bill Maher, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, listen to the ladies on The View, listen to the MSNBC, CNN. You want to hear profane, filthy, vile speech? It's all day long on those networks, but they're not used to a Republican using their medicine against them.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say on that.
Yeah. So next question, Jesse. How about President Trump's stance on homosexuality? He doesn't seem to be with the church on this question.
Well, heck, most of our cardinals and bishops and priests in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. I mean, come on. They're not with the church on the teachings of homosexuality, or at least they're silent about it. Now,
yeah,
I'm not voting for a pastor. I already have a pastor. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, John chapter 10, verse 11. I'm voting for a president. And as a Catholic, Reuben, as an American, I'm not a purist. I'm a realist. Our president was not formed by the Catholic faith. So I'm not going to hold him to Catholic standards. He's a Protestant. And he's not a minister either. So he's going to look at the Supreme Court decision, you know, Obergefell versus Hodges, on homosexual marriage. He's going to look at it, well, this is settled law. Well, guess what? That's basically the position that Bishop Barron took. There's an interview with Bishop Barron's on the Dave Rubin show, and he said, no, we're not going to change that. He goes, that's already settled law. So now I give Trump a pass on this because he's not formed by Catholic moral teaching, but Bishop Barron is a successor of the apostles. And in that interview with Dave Rubin, he clearly telegraphed weakness on the issue, and he grossly underestimates the degree to where same-sex marriage is being used as a Trojan horse to undermine the fundamental rights and freedoms of Christians in this country. But on the issue of, again, of homosexual marriage, so-called, I don't know if people realize that the LGBT community, they became very angry with Trump. You know why? Because he won't put the rainbow colors on the White House like Obama did during the month of June, because Obama, through executive order, made the month of June LGBT month, Pride month. And so they put the rainbow colors, and so does the mayor of New York. They put on the Empire State Building. President Trump doesn't do that. Okay. I'm sure, Ruben, if you had a cup of coffee with President Trump at Denny's, or even a beer — he doesn't drink beer though — or a nice tea or something. And I'm sure if I had a personal conversation with President Trump about homosexual marriage, I'm sure he would probably sound like you and I on the topic. On a personal level, he would sound like an Orthodox, Bible-believing Catholic on the topic. But again, he's the president. He has to pick his battles.
Right.
There's bigger fish to fry at this point. And again, I have no doubt also that, you know, he has probably some young staffers, some young adult staffers that are probably telling him, avoid this topic. This is a, you know, this is kind of dead with the millennials. Don't go there. And so he's doing the second best thing. What's he doing? He's reshaping the judiciary with justices that are strict constitutionalists, conservative, and people of faith. I mean, this is the way to skin the cat. This is the only way for him to ever overturn any bad decision, like, you know, Obergefell versus Hodges or Roe versus Wade. These are horrible decisions. And the only way to overturn it, you got to flank the enemy. You got to come from behind them. That's what he's doing. You got to put conservative justices that are people of faith. And let's just be honest. He can't erase the last 20 years of a debased culture that we find ourselves in. And like all presidents, again, I'm sure he has some same-sex attracted men working as his trusted associates. And apparently they're doing a good job for him and for us as well.
Yeah. He has to be a president for all, you know, and he doesn't have to espouse their beliefs. Like you said, exactly that he has to pick his battles.
He's not a pastor. He's a president.
That's right. Okay. On the next question, Jesse, immigration. It's quite striking that you, as a Mexican-American Catholic, make such an articulate defense of Trump's immigration policy. So do you find that you're able to convince many of your fellow Hispanics, especially people in the church, of your views? They get so worked up when we talk about a wall, building a wall. They think that I've had that people tell me, oh, that's racist, you know. So what's your take, Jess?
Number one, if you want to talk about the wall, heaven has a wall around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says there's a wall around heaven. Yeah. This is the risen, glorified Easter Sunday Jesus that says that. So if you got a problem with walls, you got a problem with Jesus. And Jesus says in Revelation chapter 22, the reason there's a wall, he says to keep people outside. There's outsiders, fornicators, adulterers. And he goes through a whole list, liars, people that promote falsehood. He goes, I want to keep them outside the wall of heaven. So walls aren't bad. The Vatican has the wall. Okay? In fact, the wall was put in the Vatican 1,000 years ago. I forget what pope it was. For what? Read the history of it on the encyclopedia. To keep out Muslims. The White House has a wall. And in fact, under Barack Obama, it has a fence around, a high security fence. Under Barack Obama, he put a second fence higher. So now the White House has two fences. It always had one high fence, high security. The second fence was put there by Barack Obama. Okay. So the walls, you know, boundaries can't be that bad. And also, in the Old Testament, God tells the Jews, hey, when you get released from Babylon as prisoners and you go back to Jerusalem, guess what? First thing I want you to do, build a wall. So that's enough on that. Now, about the immigration, Ruben, President Trump, whether he knows it or not, he's following the Catholic Church's teachings, the principles of the Catholic Church on his immigration policy. It's in 2241 of the Catechism. I go through that in my book, okay, in this book that John and myself wrote. And there's three things that the Catechism says, okay? There's three things in paragraph 2241. It says that nations are obliged to extent that they're able to welcome foreigners. So what does that mean? It means that there's only a limited number of immigrants that a nation can absorb. And common sense tells you that no nation can absorb an unlimited number of immigrants. The second thing the Catechism says is that all immigrants, they're subject to various juridical conditions, especially with regard to the immigrants' duties towards their country of adoption. So what does this mean? The second qualifier, the church says that the state's rights, or a country, they have the right to set the legal requirements and the legal criteria that must be met for immigration. So not the Vatican, not the U.S. bishops, every country, Vatican II says, has the right to set their immigration policy. And the third thing that the Catechism says, that every immigrant that comes into this country, they're supposed to obey the laws of that country that takes them in. And so that's the third qualifier, is that any immigrant, and that also obviously also it means illegal immigrants. They're supposed to respect the laws of the nation to which they're immigrating. And if you're there illegally and the country says you got to get back in line, you got to get back in line. Reuben, I'm telling you, when you look at 2241 of the catechism, it is the Donald Trump immigration policy that's being implemented.
Yeah, you're right. And so he's speaking up at the right time. Could you imagine if he hadn't put some of those boundaries in, you know, in place? You know, like it says in Ecclesiastes 3:17, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. That's what he's doing. So the next question, is it striking that you seem to defend two men who are generally thought to be bad guys on the world stage, even in Trump's administration and among people who are friendly to Trump? And we're talking, of course, of Vladimir Putin and Assad from Syria.
That's in page 142 of the book. It kind of goes into a lot of detail, but I will say that, you know, Catholics may be interested to know that Christianity is growing remarkably in Russia. And the Russian Orthodox Church has a close friend and supporter in Vladimir Putin. He even wears an Orthodox cross around his neck. Most people don't know that. And Putin is on record. Now, I'm not saying this guy is a holy, you know, acolyte, you know, ready to be canonized. I'm just telling you the facts. Is that Putin's on record saying that he'll protect and fight, he'll fight for Christians in areas of the world wherever they're threatened. And he's also backed up that pledge in places like Syria, where Russian forces, they were instrumental in eradicating ISIS. And so as Catholics, we have to ask ourselves, why is peace with Russia not possible? I mean, isn't that what Our Lady of Fatima asked us to pray for? And so, yeah, Trump and Putin, they have a certain rapport. That's good for all of us, because yeah. Both these countries, Reuben, individually, they can destroy the entire world. So it's good. It's good to make peace with this country. It's not good to be ginning up tension between both countries. What does Jesus Christ want? He wants peace. And guess what? Trump seems to be that peacemaker. And here are the facts. Here's the facts. Russia spies on us. Guess what? We spy on them. Every developed country spies on the others.
Right.
But Donald Trump is no Russian agent. He's a businessman who seeks peace and prosperity. And he doesn't subscribe to this liberal neocon doctrine of endless wars. Getting involved in endless wars. No, Trump wants to find a way to make a deal and have lasting peace with Russia, as Our Lady of Fatima has asked.
Right. We're going to continue with this questioning Jesse. He's on the stand right now.
Attention VMPR listeners. We've talked at length about the attack on our youth through popular culture media, but what if I told you there was someone trying to make a difference? The newest novel, Britfield and the Lost Crown, by C.R. Stewart, is reaching schools across America and sharing Christian morals alongside great storytelling. What if I told you that this mission needs your help? To reach more children, Britfield and the Lost Crown need funding for their ongoing book tour. If you're interested in making a difference, if you're interested in buying the book, or are curious and want more information, go to BritfieldInstitute.org. That's BritfieldInstitute Institute.org. Or email media@Britfield.com. Help open up the world of Britfield and the Lost Crown to people everywhere.
Finding the right doctor for your obstetric and gynecological needs can be difficult. Do you want a doctor with impeccable references and ethical practices? One who is trustworthy and well-researched? Dr. Aceta is that doctor. As a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community, Dr. Aceta provides expert care guided by his Catholic teachings, focusing on the patient's needs according to his own specialty. Call Dr. Aceta for all your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-595-5617. Again, 661-595-5617 for quality care without compromise.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back. Jesus 911, two-man car, 10-8. And we are hitting hard with Jesse, hit hard with some questions that are, he's like on the stand, you know, take, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I'm raising my right hand as you're saying that, Ruben.
That's right.
Because I am.
That's.
I take it serious.
Very good. And so I think let's kind of address some of the Latino crowd that our listeners. We got a lot of Latinos that listen. You know, I think maybe you've developed that following because of your heritage and, you know, the ability to be bilingual and let's just face it, man. Most Latinos are Catholic. At least they were baptized Catholic.
Right.
Are Latino Americans patriots, Jesse?
Absolutely, Ruben. Latino Americans, they love this nation, just like you and I. We're Latino Americans. Yep. And we'll do anything. Latinos will do anything to protect our way of life. And we finally have a president that isn't afraid to say what you and I are thinking. And he's not afraid to speak about our country's problems and put our nation first. And guess what? That's what Latino Americans want. In fact, that's why our fathers came to this country.
Right.
They want America to come first. That's why they came here in the first place. And this book I wrote, I'm holding it up right now here, The Catholic Vote for Trump, okay? This book that I wrote, and you can get it from 10 books or you can get it from Amazon, this book reminds them why they fell in love with this country in the first place. And all it takes is someone to educate them on the issues and to speak to them about the issues they actually care about. Because Latinos want to be involved, and they want to help make this country great as well. And many Hispanic Americans came from immigrant families, and their parents came for a reason. Their parents taught them from a young age to love this country and not to take our fragile liberties for granted.
Yep, sounds like my dad. Yeah, exactly. And
look what your dad made of himself.
Yeah, he was right there in the mix during the civil rights, all those things that were going on in East LA in the 60s, 68, 70. Okay, next question.
And your dad rose to become a college president.
Yeah,
professor and president.
Vice president at Mission College in San Fernando. I'm very proud of him, man. Very, very proud of him.
Are you kidding? What an accomplishment that is.
Yeah. Do Latinos want handouts or a level playing field, Jesse?
Latino Americans are hard workers, Ruben, and they're small business owners. They're huge on small business. Even if it means selling paletas on the street of East LA and tacos, but they're into small business. And let's not forget, let's remember the social teaching of the Catholic Church, which says there's dignity in work. Yes. Work is an important component of Catholic social teaching. And this is all Latino Americans want. All they want is to ensure a future where their children can grow up in a safe, secure nation and a nation filled with opportunity, where they can make a successful life for themselves like your dad did and my dad did. Basically, the opposite of what Democrats want. Democrats are into handouts and entitlements. If you want to see what Democrats create, look at a lot of the big cities. Look at downtown Los Angeles. Look at downtown New York. This is what entitlements and open drug culture, legalizing drugs, this is what happens. Entitlement breeds sloth. Latinos don't want a government that provides for all their needs in exchange for labor. They want their labor to provide for their needs. And thanks to President Trump, before this Wuhan Communist China's virus, the Hispanic unemployment was the lowest it had ever been in this country. And this election, like the last one's going to be close. So if we could reach a few thousand Latino American voters, our country would have a conservative revival like never before, because President Trump is trying to keep this country from falling into the hands of liberal Democrats and becoming another failed socialist disaster.
That's right. You know, I think I read a stat, something like 50% of Catholics vote Democrat, you know, so with that in mind, how critical are Latino voters in this next election for the president?
If we have any hope in keeping the White House as well as taking back Congress or some more congressional seats from the radical, hateful Democrats, we have to get Latino American votes on board. Latino voters are going to be the key element in the 2020 race. That's why this book has just been translated into Spanish as of yesterday from 10. It's called Un Voto Católico por Trump. Un Voto Católico por Trump.
Yeah.
And so I'll tell you why, Ruben, because as Catholics, the Democrat Party, they've been infiltrating the Latino American community for years with entitlements, okay, with handouts. And many would-be Latino voters don't even know that there's another option. In other words, they've never heard the Republican Party platform. If we're going to take back our country, we need to take the Catholic vote and the Latino vote serious, because Democrats know that even a 7% increase in Latinos voting for Republicans is going to stop Democrats from ever winning another presidential election, because Latinos are the fastest growing group of voters in America. And that's why the Democrats use their race baiting against Republicans and persuade Latinos to vote for the Democrat Party of Death. And they operate, they use Alinsky methods. They demonize the opposition Democrats, that they're haters, they're homophobes, they're bigots, they're sexist, they're racist. And if that's all you hear 24 hours a day on Hispanic media, well, you know what? As Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's right-hand man, said, if you repeat a lie over and over again, it becomes the truth for some people.
That's right. That's right. But they caught Pelosi on an open mic saying pretty much the same thing. So, and that's their tactics, you know. But the next question I have for you, do you think that Latino Americans are conservative and just don't know it?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Because Latino Americans, just generally speaking, they believe in the sanctity of human life. I mean, heck, they're the only ones that are having babies right now. Let's just be honest, okay? And Africans as well, third world countries, but Latinos. Latinos believe in equality, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, the right to bear arms. They know what happens when weapons were taken away from them during the Cristero movement. Latino Americans, they embrace traditional family morals. They want lower taxes. They want economic prosperity. They want school choice and education. They want regulations that stimulate the economy and create jobs. Latinos are pro-business. There are nearly 3.2 million Latin-owned businesses in America, and they support deregulation, tax cuts, limited government. Latino Americans, they want lower costs for health care and lower costs for prescription drugs. They want to save Social Security, preserve Medicare and Medicaid. They believe in social programs that lift the people out of poverty and put them back to work. They don't want handouts. They believe in the free market. Latinos believe in personal freedom, personal responsibility. And Latinos that I talked to, Ruben, they believe in legal immigration, not illegal immigration. Bottom line, Latinos are pro-life, pro-business, and social conservatives, and they would find themselves at home, more naturally at home, in the Republican Party.
Hey, talking about pro-life, shout out to our boy Frank Gutierrez, 15 kids, come on.
Yeah, see? Big Frank.
Yeah.
He listens to the show.
I know. You'll probably hear that. So
yeah, yeah. He just retired from the Sheriff's Department after 30-some years. Just, and yeah.
Yeah.
Frank Gutierrez, man. I mean, talk about a man's man.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Nobody's going to question his manhood.
Yeah. And
by the way, he served his country as a Marine as well, Ruben.
Good.
Marine and a sheriff. And the man has given the Catholic Church 15 kids. And I can tell you, I know them.
Yeah.
I'm godson to Samuel. They're all practicing Catholics of the traditional stripe.
Nice. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Needless to say, he does not have cable TV in his home.
No. And he probably takes about two pews at St. Vito's Parish in San Fernando.
Frank, I can't even imagine what kind of vehicle you drive to transport. You get like a bus?
He probably got he probably bought a TST bus from the sheriff's department and just repainted it. Frank's a good man.
Last question. Is there a Catholic leader that Donald Trump reminds you of?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. President Trump reminds me, Ruben, of a bishop called John Dagger Hughes. Okay. John Dagger Hughes, he died in 1864. He was the fourth bishop of New York. Now, he lived in the 1800s. New York City at that time saw the arrival of millions of Irish immigrants, and they were being discriminated against. Well, guess what? John Hughes was Irish born as well. And this bishop, he gained notoriety for his willingness to battle with anybody or any organization that threatened the Catholic Church or the Irish people. And Bishop Hughes, they call him Dagger Hughes, he had to overcome anti-Catholicism 200 years ago, poverty and ignorance. And according to the history, he did so not very diplomatically. He was a counterpuncher. This bishop was a fighter. He was blunt. He was argumentative. And he was once described by the press, quote, as more a Roman gladiator than a devout follower of the meek founder of Christianity, close quote. Well, Bishop Dagger Hughes, he fought back. He was always writing to the papers. He insisted that America was for all people, not just for the Protestants and not just for the educated. And the Irish that he defended came to love this bishop. And his stature grew because he would publicly debate Protestant clergy in open debates. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy was a man's man. Now, there was these riots in Philadelphia. I think we're back like in 1844. And there's two Catholic churches that were burned down to the ground and 12 Catholics died. And guess what Bishop Hughes, okay, he responded. He put armed guards around all the Catholic churches in his diocese. And Bishop Hughes warned the New York mayor. He said this, quote, if a single Catholic church is burned down in New York, the city of New York will be burned down to the ground, close quote. Ooh. This is a bishop of the church threatening the New York mayor, saying, one more church is damaged or one more Catholic, I'm burning down this entire city. Guess what? They took his threat seriously, Ruben, because the leaders of New York, they told the rioters, stand down. Yep. Back off from this guy. This guy will carry out his threat.
Wow.
And so, you know, after these battles, Bishop Hughes, he became the best-known Catholic bishop in the country in the face of this anti-Catholic hostility. And again, Bishop Hughes was aggressive, counterpuncher, politically incorrect. But in the end, he gained respect for those who opposed him. Donald Trump reminds me of John Bishop Dagger Hughes.
Mm. You know, I wish our leaders would have spoken up against the Muslims destroying all our cathedrals and churches in Europe. You know, Jesse, kudos to you. You've done a great job answering these questions. I have to say that you're following the prescription from Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So, Jesse, speaking the truth, you know, this is the whole situation here falls right in line with Catholic teaching. So let's do it. Let's get the book out to your friends and family, and let's make a difference. You've been listening to Jesus 911. We are through. We are 10-7. Pass the torch on to Gary Mishuda, hands-on apologetic. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
We're out.
Take care. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin most powerful radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.